Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to have a rather dramatic and dynamic hour for you, which I hope you are all ready for. So sit back with a cup of coffee or tea and just enjoy this next interview that we have, because it's with Alessandra Rain. Her book is titled Deeds of Trust, and the title, well, I don't know that the title can really tell you very much about the meat of what is inside this story. And when I say meat, I mean it's something you really will chew on mentally. Alessandra is in California, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Alessandra, I want to let my listeners know that you've got a bachelor's degree in psychology from Chapman University in San Diego and a master's of fine art and film studies from National University. And you speak all over the country. This is your story, Deeds of Trust. How long did it take you to put this book together?
It was about 10 years.
10 yeah. years.
Yeah, 10 years of writing. Yeah.
10 years of writing. Now, when I started reading it, I thought to myself, I wonder where this book is going to take me. And I was stunned. Because it almost was as if I was watching a program like Murder, She Wrote. But this is a true story. It didn't seem like this would make a great Hollywood script. But more than that, it's a real story that you have lived and that you have survived. And what I have to compliment you on is that right in the very beginning of the book, you say, my journey was full of many wrong choices. I did things I regret, and I chose people that should not have gained admittance to my world. But ultimately, each choice was mine, and therefore, I have had to live with the consequences. That is, in my mind's view, such a powerful statement. And when I saw that second paragraph in your book, I said, I'm going to have to go through and see the rest of the story that I haven't even gotten into yet.
Thank you.
So for you to do this, and I know there are many people listening to the broadcast that are wannabe writers, you wrote about your life, which has so many twists and turns in it, the characters, the personalities that you found yourself sharing your life experience with. This in a million years, I don't think you would have willingly choreographed into your life's description, would you?
No. I mean, I probably made every wrong choice you could over about a 10-year period. And you're right. I mean, you know, what I ultimately decided was that we are responsible for our choices, even if we've been conned, even if we're a victim in a lot of ways. It really is how we respond to each and what we do to go forward. It was about a 15-year period that I lived through absolute blackness, you know, permeated everything, and yet it turned out to be such a gift, and I never could have dreamed that. And I think a lot of it is because of my willingness to kind of admit where I was wrong, what I wasn't willing to face at the time, and then what I did with all of the pain, because it became transformed into a remarkable mission. And who could have dreamed?
Right. And so many people would perhaps have taken a positioning of being a victim and saying, I can't do anything with my life, so I'll just stay in the toilet because that's where I am.
Exactly.
You didn't do that.
Well, I did for a period. I think, sure, in the middle of it, I think that's kind of a normal human response. In particular, to being really seriously conned. I think that's kind of a place we can be, but I think that could be our downfall. Because with all the odds of everything that I did wrong and everything that I went through and where I was just 4 years ago, there is no reason I should have recovered to the degree that I did. And then come to find out, you know, we all make mistakes.
Of course.
They're just not as profound and as enormous as mine were. And yet it's made it okay for a lot of people to tell me what they then have done wrong. It's really interesting. It's been the strangest twist of fate.
Well, I think when you are willing to talk openly without fear or apprehension of any kind, that this is what I did. I screwed up royally, and I want you to know about it, because if I can save you from this pain and suffering, if maybe you're in something like this, if maybe you're contemplating an association with a particular personality type, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
Take a good look, because many times in life we don't have comparisons. Now, you mentioned a word that is a very significant one, because my life's path has crossed with a few of these. The word is con, C-O-N.
Yeah.
And your statement is, in your very first chapter, a good con is woven like a tight web, much like a spider's trap. It seems safe initially, then closes in around you, and deceit can wrap its tentacles so tightly that the truth is obscured. And by the time the degree of danger is recognized, it is much too late. Tell us about Mark Young.
Oh,
he was the con.
He was the con, and he was a master. Yeah, he had had several convictions, which, of course, I didn't know about in other states. But, he chose me very, very carefully for my money. And I didn't know, but my twin sister did, ironically enough, and she tried to warn me, and it actually ended up coming between us for a while. And he did. He poisoned me for money, and the poison was misdiagnosed by the medical community.
Now, I want you to stop right there, because you've covered a lot in just a few sentences. First, you do have a twin sister whom you have a tremendous telepathic association with.
I do.
She's a wonderful person and was the bright light where you felt you were turned off and you were in the darkness. She was still that light there. And this man comes into your life. You were extremely successful, having a great many assets. And he deliberately, with purpose, was cultivating the association with you because he wanted access to this.
Mm-hmm.
You, being naive, did not do a background check. That sounds cold, but you didn't.
I didn't. This was the early 90s. It didn't even occur to me.
Right. Didn't even cross your mind.
Mm-mm.
And he, you know, here's all of this background you find out about later. And a parcel of what goes on with you is a lot of indoctrination that you had as a woman about what the rules of interaction are, what you're supposed to do. And I find all of this so intriguing.
Yeah, what I've realized, I mean, it was real interesting. I met him at a very lonely time for me, even though I was very, very successful. And I realized what a danger that is. Not lonely anymore. I'm very, very patient.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is an indoctrination that occurs, and I think the unwillingness for me to admit certain outpoints and the unwillingness for me to really... My father used to have that saying, and I think I put it in the book, about turn off the sound. You know, the actions speak loudly if we're listening, if we're really watching. And had I been willing to do that, in the second that I realized some of the outpoints were there and walked away, it would never have taken me where it ended up doing. I mean, it nearly killed me. And MJ saw it in my twin sister. And even though she couldn't prove it, I should have heeded her advice, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up taking me on the darkest spiral that I ever could have dreamed possible.
Now, your husband, unknown to you, was deliberately and systematically putting a poison into your coffee.
Yes.
And I can remember when I was reading this book, and by the way, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is called Deeds of Trust. This is a true story. This is not fabricated. This is not a make-believe. This is something that really happened to Alessandra. He was putting it in your coffee, and it was interesting because when I was reading it, I thought, he has to be putting it in her coffee, because you were a person that didn't eat a whole bunch, and if you did, you were often out in different places, but it was just a patterning, your illnesses that began to crop up, things that started going wrong with you, and even though you go to the doctor, they couldn't find anything.
Yeah, that was the scary part. I mean, it started as strange insomnia and anxiety, and then I had seizures. I had seizures for years, and they couldn't pinpoint it. And the sicker I got, I think the tighter his psychological hold came over
mm-hmm.
me. And I think that's what I found is that's actually quite common, because that's part of what sociopaths do, is separate you off from the people that you really care about. And it's done very systematically and very carefully constructed over a period of time. And the more alone you become, the easier it is to con.
And then you were becoming very, very ill.
Yes.
So as you were becoming weaker physiologically, then you needed him.
I did.
You needed someone. And how did your sister react with this? Because didn't she sense something like this was happening?
She knew from the very beginning. She knew from the very, very early onset of illness, before the first seizure, she was convinced. She was watching me deteriorate. And because she lived across the country at that point and didn't see me quite as frequently, when she saw me, she knew. She said something's completely wrong. And she didn't like his eyes. And even though he was very polished and presented himself and said all the right things, she just didn't trust him. And I should have known, because my cat didn't either.
Your cat didn't like him either.
No, and I should have known. And animals know. They do. One of the cats, Selfie, who takes a pretty prominent role in the book, yeah, she didn't care for him at all.
Animals are extremely
yeah.
observant of people. All right, so here you are. You're going through this. You're experiencing this, and you're also handling a business. And one of the things that he tried, well, what he accomplished in doing, was getting you involved in a level where you were so responsible for so many aspects of the business. And then things started going awry.
They did.
How yeah. did they start going askew?
Well, I mean, now, of course, I realize exactly what he was doing. At the time, I had no idea why all of a sudden we were renovating homes in San Diego. And we had an extremely successful company. I mean, we did 157 or 152 homes within about a two-year period. So it was extremely successful. But all of a sudden, money started disappearing on various jobs. And they'd run short. And properties were requiring money to close escrow, which shouldn't be that way. I mean, strange things started happening. Of course, you know, now I realize that was part of it. His intent was to throw it into bankruptcy, so that a lot of things that he had done would be hidden in the bankruptcy court. And that was kind of his modus operandi that he had done for years and years. I wouldn't do that. And that's when a lot of the things started stepping up, the amount of the poison, the amount, the abuse, a lot of the things, because he wanted the company in bankruptcy. Eventually, he did get it there, but I held on for a very long time. But, yeah, property started coming up short, and things were being done wrong, and investors weren't being handled properly. He wasn't recording trust deeds. You know, one of the things for deeds of trust ended up missing. A tremendous amount of confusion, which, of course, is another kind of an indicator of a sociopath, is they create an enormous swell of confusion around you, and you're always putting out fires. And it's very difficult to actually see what's happening.
So your mother
yeah.
came in and said that she had gotten, and again, folks, we're talking with Alessandra Rain, her book, Deeds of Trust. It's a true story. Again, you'd think this would make a fabulous movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just fascinating because of what she went through. But more than anything else, it's her acknowledgement and recognition of what she evolved through and how she also got out of it. That's the power of this wonderful book, this wonderful story. Now, your mother knew about someone that had called her regarding your husband.
Yeah, she received a call pretty early on, right before we were married, from a woman who said that she had lost a great deal of money because of him and that he had conned her. And she called my mother. And again, that was something I should have believed. He had a very plausible explanation, and I was more than willing to believe that this woman was just trying to divide us,
mm-hmm.
Which was terrible of me. It was absolutely terrible. But my mother did receive a call, absolutely, and she kept saying, please, you know, don't go through with this. And I didn't listen to that either.
You know, I read your book, and I have a very, very dear friend of many, many years, and all I could see was almost like a parallel patterning with someone that tried to get into her space.
Wow.
And fortunately, she did listen to my perceptions, and she got out of it. But when I was reading your story, I could just see hers, and I was going, oh, my gracious, this is, I don't know that it would have been quite as extreme as yours was, but I think it would have ended up in the same thing, where she would have literally lost everything. Yeah. Now, you were always, he always seemed to know how to play on your doubts.
He did.
He was always.
He was a master at that, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, of course I realized much, much later that he had done a great deal of research on me, so he knew a lot more about me than I realized. But he was a master, and again, I think that's kind of one of the traits, is being able to spin something in a way that I'd sit and I'd question myself. You know, wow, you know, I felt so strongly about certain issues, and by the end of a discussion, I would be totally confused. And I'm a very strong-willed woman, incredibly bright.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I was extremely sick as time went on, but it was more than that. There was a kind of a psychological game that took place that I just would be completely beside myself trying to figure out, you know, how the conversation got twisted in that regard. You know, the communication was never really clean. You know, he was very, very good. Very good. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was so honest in my book, is I think the only way to really educate about these types of people is also to be willing to look at what we ignore when we're around them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's never just one-sided. There's always warnings, whether we think there are not or are.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I look at my own life and the mistakes I've made and the people that I've talked with through the years, and usually we do have ample warning.
We do. We do. It's just whether we're going to be willing to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with a lot of what happens today is we get so caught up in the fact that we were victimized, that we never really look at our role, and therefore we're kind of doomed to repeat it or internalize to the point that we never expand again as a person. And I didn't want to do that.
Now, because of the poison that he was giving you, it was not in really large amounts. You ended up reaching a physical level, or I should say falling down into a physical level of just utter weakness. I mean, your lungs were not working. You had to have a tank of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And how in the world was it discovered? Did they ever discover the type of poison that he was giving you?
Yeah, well, ironically, it came out of a hair analysis. I mean, all the blood work that I had so many MRIs and CAT scans and all these tests, and it turned out to be a simple hair analysis from an alternative doctor who had a suspicion. And off the charts amount of mercury came up. And the lab even said it had to be from an outside source. It was not enough that it could have been just amalgams from teeth, or it had to be a dramatic outside source. And because of the length of my hair, they could actually define the actual time frame. And it was the whole time I was with him.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Because of the length of your hair,
Yeah. They
actually could determine when it started?
Yeah. And when I left, I mean, when I finally got up the courage to leave him, that part of my hair was clean. The mercury was still in my body, but the amounts actually started dropping off. So, yeah, it was definitely him. There's no question about it. But, you know, I learned a huge lesson. But, yeah, I was very, very ill. It had affected, besides my neurological state with the continuing seizures for years, my lungs were terrible. And I had recurring bronchitis and pneumonia, was on oxygen. My mental faculties really diminished. Horrible, horrible anxiety and insomnia. And then, you know, I just started to deteriorate everywhere. My immune system took a major hit.
Now, here you are. You finally are becoming aware. You realize that, one, your business is falling apart at the seams and then some, because all kinds of things are coming to the surface. You realize that he has robbed you in so many different ways. He has lied to business people that you had built a trust with. You have all of this going on. Where did you realize the point? When did you realize the point of this is stopping right here, right now?
I think the turning point for me was in Santa Fe. I had moved from San Diego to Santa Fe, and when the poison was discovered, I think the flood of memories that came in from my sister and from, because I didn't really, at that point, when I ended up, I lost literally everything. And I kind of stood there going, what happened? I really didn't know. And at that point, when the woman asked me, is there a way you've been poisoned? It just came flooding in. From that point forward is when my determination rose that I did not want him to do this to another person, that this man had to be stopped. And I saw a private detective's report on all the people, I mean hundreds and hundreds of people that he had ripped through their lives, you know, the elderly women, you know, threw things into bankruptcy. And I began to see, you know, how lucky I was, first off, to even have lived through it, and how many guardians I had watching me, the fact that I never had a seizure driving, and somehow I survived. And then a lot of anger rose up that it was time to stop this man.
Yeah. Now, this went on. You met him in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
By mid-1995, you had lost it all. So tell us how you ended up going through another cycle dealing with medications that created the addiction.
Yeah.
And how did you handle that?
That was actually much harder on me because the medications that I was put on, it was a group of drugs called benzodiazepines primarily, which is drugs like Valium, Xanax, Klonopin, Ativan. I didn't know how addictive they were. I mean, it's the most addictive group on the planet, and I was put on a lot of different medications and sleeping pills and I think four drugs within that class. That was much, much harder on me because the longer I was on the medication, which now I know from everybody I work with worldwide, it's very common as the anxiety keeps increasing and the fear, the unbelievable fear, that was harder because when it came time to face that demon, that was actually more difficult because the physical addiction was so extreme and the withdrawals brought me to my knees in a much worse way, strangely enough, than all the seizures and everything I'd been through with him. So that was a much bigger beast. And it also made me understand a lot of what's happening today and just drugging symptoms. And I didn't understand that before. I'd had so much surgery. And the idea of using painkillers or using anti-anxiety medication or sleeping pills made sense to me. I thought it was something you should do if you were in pain or if you couldn't sleep. And then when I had to face how difficult these drugs are to get off of and what they do to us, and mentally as well as physically, it made me really kind of stand up and realize why I had survived everything. And I knew that it was my calling to help.
Now, how did you finally get to the point where Mark was held accountable?
Well, he was somewhat held accountable. He was never convicted of poisoning me because they couldn't actually prove that he gave me the poison. He did receive a third conviction, for grand theft. But I thought what he actually received from the court system was extremely light, and he was free right after that. He had 6 months of a work furlough in a minimum security area. Only on the weekends. He was out all week to work, and then he was free. And I think that was kind of part of the travesty of the justice system. But it also has to do with white-collar crime. It's a different ballgame, you know, than things that are murder or domestic violence even or any kind of robbery. So I think that part of it, but in a kind of strange kind of way, I felt that I did everything I could, you know, to try to stop him. I think hopefully, you know, someone will someday, but my suspicion is he's out there still doing it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, your story is one that because you've been willing to go public with it, was all of what you've experienced, you say that the woman, a battered woman, actually it can even apply to a battered man. What is the typical patterning of people that do this in relationships?
You mean the one receiving it or the one actually?
The one that's actually administering the negative application.
Oh.
Because you bring out in your book how you used to read about women that have been victimized. You say, well, gee whiz, aren't these women intelligent enough to realize that this is happening to them? And then you realize, having gone through it yourself, it's insidious. It is very slow.
Yeah, because it's a combination of things that happen. I used to think of it as it's always about only abuse, and it's not. I mean, there's very much a control aspect that takes place. But there's also the kindness that comes after the abuse, and that's the part that tends to hook. And the psychological games are so incredibly extreme that you lose your ability to even believe you can maneuver. It's the strangest thing, but it really opened my eyes to what men and women, I shouldn't have written it just as only in women, but it, because it was my perspective, of what it is like to be in the middle of an abuse situation. And it's true. I mean, after a horrible period of abuse, when that person is very nice to you and apologizes, you hang on those words. And it's absolutely insidious and keeps people in for much, much longer than they should be. And for me, it certainly did, because then it erodes your self-esteem, too.
Well, you go into such detail regarding about the toxicity of drugs, how people, the individual physicians that prescribe these drugs, really didn't understand them, how there were not, you know, enough tests done in the sense of questioning and looking at different applications. You talk about your story, the whole process here. Now, here you have evolved. You're now very, very successful. You and your sister have got a wonderful relationship now. What is the biggest message that you want people to get from this book that you've written, Deeds of Trust?
Oh, boy. I think there's a few different things. One is certainly that we're all meant to be happy in our natural state, not in an altered state, and that if something is causing a symptom of whether it's depression, anxiety, insomnia, whatever it happens to be, something's causing it. It's not something that should just be covered up with a drug. You know, it's about resolving that underlying issue. And we're meant to be loved, and we're meant to be social, and I think that's a lot of what's changed today. People are not connected in the same way. And I've never felt better. I mean, after 34 surgeries and 10 years on the medications and horrible withdrawals and everything that I went through, I've never been healthier. And it's hard to believe I'm coming up on 50. And I feel more like I'm in my 20s. It's taught me so much. And I think, you know, the greatest message I can give to somebody else is that no matter what we've been through, we can heal. And no matter what we've done, whether... You know, no matter how bad it might look to the individual at the time, we can rise above it and use it in a way to help others and inspire others.
Well, I love your statements, and especially this one. The next realization, one of these realizations that you had, is that we have tens of millions of children worldwide who are told that drugs will treat their hyperactivity or inability to concentrate. We are told that drugs will improve their grades. How criminal. You're very outspoken in so many ways, and your clarity, your sincerity, your caring, I just think is so important. And I also appreciate and respect your positioning of personal responsibility in your choices, but also in that maybe made this downward spiral evolve, but also in the fact that you also made choices on the other side where you said, I don't want to stay here.
That's true.
And I think that is marvelous. Now, do you have a website?
I do. There's... Label Me Sane actually is the company that we help people through. It's www.labelmesane.com.
Labelmesane.com.
Yeah.
So if any of you who have been listening to this story, if you feel like you are in a situation where you are totally confused, I think that this is a book that gives a clear insight on how any one of us can be vulnerable to the con in life, but also to be aware of the fact that that's not the end-all of end-all, that you can make choices, you can do things that can change your life. Alessandra Rain has been my guest. Deeds of Trust is her true story. It is powerful. Believe me, it'll grip you from the time you start the first page until you finish it. Her website is labelmesane.com. labelmesane.com. Alessandra, I just wish you the best in your life.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. You as well.
It has been a delight having you as a guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment, and when we come back, we'll have some more good things to share with you. Alessandra Rain, Deeds of Trust, a true story, a powerful one that makes you realize you've got more opportunity in life than what you ever dreamed. It's a good thing to have in your library. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, our telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers in the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For those of you in Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. We also have another line of 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know, tomorrow we have an open mic day, so the phone lines will be open and available to you throughout the whole show tomorrow. And also, I'm going to be mentioning a gentleman tomorrow that I just learned this morning. He's a fabulous, fabulous man, and I'll be talking about him tomorrow. He's written a number of books, and I found out that just a short time ago he died on an airplane flight to New York City. He had a major cardiac arrest. I was going to have him on as a guest, but he's gone on to another level of life and experience, but I want to honor him tomorrow because I think he has given the world a wonderful gift. Also this week, we're going to be talking about the 4 realities of success during and after college. Do you have a young person that's in college right now, a young adult, and my goodness, they've got all kinds of ideas, aspirations, and at the same time, they're looking very, very frustratingly at, what am I going to do when I get out of college? How am I going to handle it? Well, we're going to talk about this with Bob Ross. He's been involved with college students for a lot of years and can give some good insight. This Friday, we're going to be talking about the tobacco holocaust. Dr. Michael Rabinoff is going to be our guest. This is a man who, as a physician, has seen what the use of tobacco has done to many of his patients, and because of that, he got involved in research, and we're going to find out what his findings are. So you're going to want to join us. We just have a wonderful lineup of people, and do tell your friends about the show. You know, here on BBS, we pride ourselves in being able to present programming to you that is a bit different, also that's going to inform and to educate you. So here on the Donna Sebo Show, just know that there's always something that's going to be available for you. Also, if you have a special story, and I have to tell you, I haven't been able to get to all my emails, but if you have a special story, a recipe you'd like to share, maybe you want me to know about some facts or information that you've become aware of, hey, send them along. Send them to my email, Donna, at DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. And I'll be glad to review it. With the holidays and all of the activity that comes afterwards, there's just so much going on. So just know that you can send that along, and when I can, I will be happy to share it, because we do review all of the material that's sent to us. And by the way, phone lines are open right now if you'd like to call, and let me give you intuitive insight into what's happening to you right now. 877-876-5227. For Canadians, 888-810-8322, also 530-876-3222. Well, so many fun things are going on. I just love people's ingenuity. I think it's absolutely marvelous how people will see a problem or maybe be having an experience of their own, and they say, you know what, we've got to resolve this. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the human being, is that we're in a position to be able to look at options and be able to expand our awareness of what we can do. And Adam Hunter is a man that said he had become aware about a pet lover, Erin Kennedy, from Spring Lake, New Jersey. And she had to make a choice for her 8th birthday party. And her mom gave her an interesting selection of choices. She said, you know, you can either invite a few friends over and keep all your gifts, or have a big party. And in having the big party, have her friends give to a good cause. Now, Erin decided she wanted to do the latter. So she and all of her friends that came to the party donated money to the Three Little Kittens, a shelter that is in nearby Ashbury Park that rescues homeless kittens. And believe me, there's an abundance of them. And Dee Dee Williams, who founded the shelter in 2004, she said homeless cat communities are really a major problem, and the kittens are obviously going to be the most vulnerable. Now, how did Dee Dee get involved in this? Well, she got involved because she started saving kittens after one of her neighborhood's feral cats dropped a litter on her doorstep. Isn't the universe interesting how it brings things to you? Well, she has estimated that from that first day, she has fed, fostered, and found homes for more than 160 kittens. That's an awesome amount for one person to do. Well, Dee Dee said when Erin's friends came and donated all of the things that they did, she said it was wonderful. All of Erin's friends, and Erin herself decided to help out too, gave bags full of powdered formula, baby bottles, blankets, kitty litter, and tons of toys. So she said, I read aloud to the kids a poem that I wrote to thank them, and each of the children got a photo of a kitten that they helped to save. And it was so exciting. What a wonderful birthday party idea, don't you think? Especially when you have older kids. And I think the mother of Erin was just so wise to make this kind of an opportunity available, because Erin was allowed to make her choice, and either choice was fine with Mom. It didn't make any difference. But look at the experience that Erin and her friends had. They were able to help someone in the community, and they all together decided on what they wanted to do. Now, this organization, Three Little Kittens, is located in Allenhurst, New Jersey. You can also go to their website, threelittlekittens.org. And if you want to donate items, or if you wanted to find out more about the shelter, and maybe in your own local area, the wonderful things that Dee Dee has done for the shelter that she has, this might be a great thing to do. And if you're a teacher with a school group of kids that maybe you want to help them realize that what they do makes a difference and can affect the well-being of the animals in their community, this might be a fun kind of project. It might be also fun for some parents to think of doing with their children and their family. But it's just a different concept, and I think it's a good one. I think it's something that makes us aware that there are options and ways that we can make a difference. And isn't it a great way to inspire a child to recognize that there are those situations in life that if it's not positive, you can do something positive to turn things around. And we never do anything all by ourselves. So I just thought that that was a delightful story that I wanted to share with you, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Now, this is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322. And for those of you listening in Alaska, I am going to be up in Fairbanks as well as Anchorage in the latter part of this month. You can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, go to the newsletter portion. Also, we have a calendar portion, and you'll find out the details of where I'm going to be and how you can contact me. And if you are not able to find that comfortably, then give me a call at my office, and I'll be glad to provide the details. 800-872-8852 is my office number. Would you like to find your share of a $2 million treasure? Do your financial antennae go up with a lot of enthusiasm? Well, I thought I'd share something with you that I found out about. This is done and presented by an author, Michael Stadther. He's planned this out because he's put out a book called Secrets of the Alchemist Dar. Now, it is a children's story. However, throughout the story, there are all of these clues that point to the location of 100 different rings. The total value of these rings is more than $2 million. So all you have to do is hunt for treasure by following clues and solving puzzles. Now, the first folks to solve the puzzles, of course, you have to follow the rules, and you're going to have all of this on the website. You're going to be able to receive one of these unique rings, and I've got a photo of a couple of them in front of me. So all you have to do is go to Alchemist Dar, A-L-C-H-E-M-I-S. T-D-A-R.com. That's right, alchemiststar.com. And you can participate in this unique treasure hunt. And also, if you are right at the beginning of the new year trying to figure out how can you save money, and if you have an adjustable rate mortgage, well, you are going to find that your interest rates might be creeping up little by little. So if you want to keep your interest low, you can refinance your current ARM to a 30-year fixed mortgage. Now, with today's rate, it's possible that refinancing from an adjustable to the fixed will keep your payment the same or maybe even lower it, but you won't have to worry about it going up in the future. So that is just a bit of financial information for you to think about if this is something that is of interest to you, especially if you want to save some money. Now, someone else came up with a concept about being able to help you pay for your car, and this one I got a kick out of, because if you want to drive around for free, you can get paid by turning your car into an advertisement for a business. What is this all about? Well, you've got a couple of websites that you can go to, and if they like you and they want to choose you, your car will be wrapped with non-damaging advertisements that can earn you up to $400 a month in fees. And in some cases, instead of getting cash, you may be given one of the company's cars to drive for free. A unique concept. Now, these are the websites you can go to. It's ad-wraps.com, ad-wraps.com. Or AdSmart, A-D-S-Smart, outdoor.com. AdSmartOutdoor.com. Got to get my tongue wrapped around the words properly. AdSmartOutdoor.com. So those are just a couple of ways that you can increase your financial abundance in this new year. Well, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back, I have some good stuff to share with you, too. Don't forget, if you want to chat with me, just call in, give me your first name or initial, and I'll tell you what I perceive, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and a reminder, tomorrow we're going to have open mic day, so the telephone lines will be open for the entire hour. Also on Thursday, we're going to be talking to Bob Roth, the four realities of success during and after college. This is very important for those of you that have young people in the family that are going to be stepping out into the college environment, because this is going to prepare them from what needs to be taken care of during the process and what they can look forward to after they get out. Just because you've gotten a college degree doesn't mean that the world is going to be beating a path to your door. Also on Friday, we're going to be talking to Dr. Michael Rabinoff, the Tobacco Holocaust. This is a physician that has dealt firsthand with the results of smokers and also smoking, I should say, the result of smoking and how smokers and their families have suffered from what has often been misrepresented. So we are going to find that this is a very important show, and I would welcome you, and if you have someone in your family that you're wanting to convince to give up smoking, I think you're going to want to listen to this show because it will make a difference. I said I had a special thing I wanted to share with you today, and I have a wonderful recipe that I was going to share, and if I have time, so get that pad of paper and pen handy. If I have time, I'm going to share it with you. It is a wonderful recipe for stuffed chicken breast, cheesy stuffed chicken breast. You know, this kind of food, especially during winter months, it's just a feel-good kind of food. And it's just something that's so easy to fix, so I'm going to share that with you. But I wanted to first tell you about a young woman who, as a single mother, really was in a dilemma, and she would have been classified as a non-traditional type of student. Do you know that a good 75% of undergrads today are those non-traditional students? Many of them are single mothers, like this young lady, Kelly, that are really wanting to have a better life. And by golly, there are a lot of options available for young single moms. And it's so tough if you're a single mom. I know. I've been one, and I have memories of it, and these were not opportunities that were available to me when I was younger. So I encourage those of you that are aware of single moms to be alert to this because it makes a difference. Now, Kelly had been working two jobs just to make ends meet for herself and her daughter, and she lives in Omaha, Nebraska, and they just didn't know, couldn't figure out a way. She and her friends couldn't figure out a way how she was going to be able to manage to go to college. Well, there was no child support for her, and she often was waiting tables. She had a high school diploma. She wasn't a dropout. She had had a high school diploma, but she couldn't get a better job. There was nothing else that she could possibly qualify for without some kind of a college degree. Now, Kelly, being 24 years of age, she just didn't know how she was going to get there. But she started off by taking one class at a time at a local community college. And she happened to have an opportunity to interact in some environments that showed her that she would like to become an occupational therapist. And she knew she had to get her degree. There was a college near where she lived. She was going to have to cut work hours, though, which was absolutely impossible. There was no way she was going to be able to do it because she had to survive. Now, when she was on campus taking this one class, she happened to notice something that was going on that she couldn't quite fathom. She said there were a lot of moms and a lot of little kids. She said, where are they coming from? This wasn't something that she expected to see on the campus. Well, her fellow students said they live here on campus. And she was stunned. That she had never heard of. And apparently this college, which was called the College of St. Mary, had created a program called Mothers Living and Learning so that young women like herself could go to school, would not have to worry about bills, because most of the bills were going to be covered by grants and loans to the college. They would have their own room, and she would be in with a lot of other single mothers and also a lot of the children with these single moms. And this was called a Walsh Hall. And she said, we helped each other out. We watched each other's kids. We studied together. And what Kelly was able to do was, one, get very good grades. She got 2 degrees. She got her bachelor's and her master's degree as an occupational therapist. And she said, because of this, I was able to do something not just for myself, but also for my daughter, and I'm able to make a better income. Now, 4 ways to boost your career if you're not able to go back to school is that you need to use, when you're writing resume, words that mean managed, supervised, and budgeted. In other words, you want to present your experience in a positive way. Also, it's a good idea if you intern in a field that you enjoy and gain experience that can pay off later. There's a wonderful website that has internship programs, and it's called internshipprograms.com, internshipprograms.com. Also, if you are working, just volunteer for everything you can. Be willing to improve your skills and pave the way to the opportunity of promotion. And remember, there are always people around you that will be willing to help you if you're willing to help yourself. Don't hesitate to join a club, or just realize often when people see what you do and see your actions and you demonstrate a good attitude, they're going to be right there with you saying, let me see if I can help. So you can do this. Now, if you want to go to college as an adult, you can get half of your degree at a community college and then you can transfer. And it can save you as much as $40,000. That's a lot of money saved. Also, you can barter. There are some schools that are allowing students to trade goods and services for tuition. And you can get college credit for $100. There is a test out of basic courses that you can take that allows you. And you can go to collegeboard.com. or getcollegecredit.com to find out what you can do relative to that. Again, volunteering is very good. And sometimes there are organizations, when you are an active volunteer, they actually will help you get some money so you can go to college. And you might find that you qualify for financial aid. You can fill out the FAFSA, that's the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, at fafsa.ed.gov. That's fafsa.ed.gov. So those are some tips for those of you as adults who may want to be going back to school. And it is amazing, there are more and more adults attending college because they realize they are having to go back into school to be able to prepare them for where they want to shift into, regardless of what their background might be. So if this is something you would like to do, you should really give it consideration. Well, this is Donna Siebel. I'm going to have to save the recipe, perhaps for tomorrow. And, well, we just got so many wonderful things to share with you here on the Donna Siebel Show, here on BBSRadio.com. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have the right to make choices, good, bad, or indifferent. But if you stay present with where you are, you're going to want nothing but the best for yourself, and that's what I always desire for you. We look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, is an open mic day, full lines all day, all hour tomorrow. So we'll talk with you then. Bye for now. Have a fabulous, fabulous day wherever you are.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.